About 9 minutes after the hour now here on the Crystal Frost Show. Crystal on vacation this week. Vic McCarty sitting in. And if it's Wednesday at 10 o'clock, then we must be talking to Bonnie Pintozzi, Travel Authority. Good morning, young lady. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Vic. Well, I'm doing great. And what an opportunity today we have. Well, you know, we talk about the past, the present, and the future of travel. Well, I'm going to take us back a few years to the past. Well, about 175 years ago, in 1840, Sir Samuel Cunard set sail aboard the Britannia and founded the great transatlantic steamship service. From that small paddle steamers to the magnificent of the Queens, Cunard Line has operated a vast array of ships over 175 years.
Wow.
Now, my next guest wasn't around then. So I'm going to bring on Steve Smotrich. Steve is the Director of Sales for National Accounts for Cunard Line, and he's been a frequent guest. So good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Bonnie, and good morning, Vic.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me today.
Well, you have such a rich history. You know, 175 years is amazing. And we are going to kind of talk about the Queens. We'll get to that. But we're also going to talk about, let's talk about today. What is happening today? You know, Alaska in 2019. Oh, I love it. Let's start out there.
Yeah, this is really exciting for us. We really kind of sail everywhere in the world. But the one place we haven't been in a long time is Alaska. And that's a little bit surprising because there's so many different cruise lines up in Alaska. But for the first time in 20 years, we're returning to Alaska in 2019. And, of course, with everything Cunard, we're not going to just go to do a trade like that and just do what everybody else is doing. We're going to do something very, very different. So what we're doing is 4 10-day round-trip sailings, and they're all out of Vancouver. And these are very, very port-intensive itineraries where we're going to 6 different ports. Every single one of those ports, we're going to be in there a whole day. Ports like Skagway, Juneau, Ketchikan, which are really kind of the common ports, but also some unusual ports like Sitka and Icy Strait Point and Victoria, which has a very rich British history there as well. And we're also going to go to 2 glaciers. So it's a really, really interesting itinerary, and we're so excited about getting back up to Alaska.
Well, Steve, I would imagine that they will sell out quickly, especially for the loyal Cunard travelers who love to go back and do something different too. Do we have prices and everything ready to go on that now?
We do, and we do still have a good amount. I think this is kind of the booking window for Alaska. Mm-hmm. People are, you know, kind of turning the page on this summer and starting to look to next summer. And we're going to be in there in May and June. So it's early in the season. There's only 4 of those sailings, but we do have still quite a bit of inventory. The other thing I want to mention with that that's really, really interesting is we've partnered with Rocky Mountaineer Rail Experiences. So either pre or post, you can take a rail experience over to Calgary, see Banff and Lake Louise, and we think that partnership with Rocky Mountaineer is a really, really fantastic partnership. Those brands really match up well. So it's an exciting time.
Steve. They match up so well, and we've had a guest from Rocky Mountain on, and they are, if you want to take the best in rail, you can't get any better than them.
Exactly. And we have that all packaged up, so it's really easy for guests who are interested in that.
Oh, this will sell out, definitely. So we have Absolutely. The prices in our office, so if anyone is interested, that definitely you want to get on board there. But you also have some dress code changes, don't you?
We do. And I think, you know, the number one thing I probably hear about Cunard is, it's a very stuffy experience. I don't know if that's really for me. You know, I always hear my husband doesn't want to put on a tie every night for dinner. And it really kind of misinterprets kind of what the dress code is all about. Getting dressed up on Cunard is, you know, it's a classic experience. It's part of our DNA. It's something we're always going to have on board. And it's not just about getting dressed up. It's about it's like an event. It's a sense of occasion. Every single formal night that we have, we also have a theme ball that night after dinner. So it's a really, really very much an event more than it is just a formal night like you would get on another cruise ship. But we do understand that guests want that flexibility. So what we have done is we've made some venues casual now. So our casino, our nightclub, which is called G32 on Queen Mary 2, and it's called the Yacht Club on Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth, as well as our Golden Lion Pub. These are all casual every evening. You could wear jeans and a nice shirt and sneakers, and you'd be completely fine. The reality is you're going to see most people partaking in the theme balls, especially those nights. Mm-hmm. But even those, you know, on a seven-day sailing, there's only like three formal or gala nights. The other nights is what we call smart attire. And smart attire is gentlemen are still expected to wear a jacket, but no tie. So it really is not that stuffy. During the day, completely casual throughout the ship. So I think when you hear the stuffy, it's really not the case on board. I've sailed many times, and the part of the grandeur of getting dressed up is exciting, but it definitely is not as restrictive, I think, as people may think.
Right, and let's talk about those unique experiences on board, because when you start out with largest dance floors at sea, let's go from there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Dance. We get so many dance groups and people who love to dance. They are the largest dance floors at sea. As I said, we have these balls, these theme balls that happen on our formal nights. And those balls take place in what we call the Queen's Room. And the Queen's Room is where those largest dance floors are. And it's a live orchestra every single night. And even if you don't have somebody to dance with, we have dance hosts on board and they're fantastic dancers. And we have professional dancers who do dance lessons during the day to get you ready for the evening. So the Queen's Room is really special. I always say it's like the entertainment hub of the ship, because it's not just about the theme ball at night. There's so many things going on there during the day. Say in the morning, you might have, sometimes we have Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts are on board, and they'll do acting lessons in the morning. And then on some of our ships, we have fencing lessons in the Queen's Room. And then at noon every day, our professional dancer I mentioned, they will do a dance lesson. And then, of course, being an English product, of course, at 3:30 every day, you got to have afternoon tea, and we do it the right way. It's white glove, white tablecloth, live entertainment. Everybody loves the afternoon tea. So that Queen's Room is really, really special space on board, and it's one of our more beautiful spaces. There's so many different things.
Well, wine program too.
That is something very, very new. We do have one of the largest wine collections at sea. We have wine certifications and wine and spirit certifications that you can do. That we work with the WSET, which is the Wine, Spirit, and Education Trust, and you can get a level one or level two certification on board on certain sailings. It's really interesting that you can do things like that you can't do anywhere else.
All right, what's the gin and fizz?
Gin and fizz. Okay, so staying on the wine and spirits theme,
yes.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So gin is one of those classic spirits that I think has kind of had a renaissance. And with Cunard, I think because we have this rich history that you talked about, a lot of our experiences feel very retro. And I think gin, again, kind of fits into that category. So we have this new bar concept called Gin and Fizz, where we have 40 different gins to choose from.
Wow.
We have a lot of specialty handcrafted cocktails. They're all gin themed, and it's a really fun experience. There's even an extra cost experience that you can sit down and do for, it's 2 hours. I did it in July, and they give you little bites to eat. They tell you how the gin is made.
Wow.
They show you how to do all these different, make these cocktails yourself. It's a really fun experience.
Definitely.
Well, and I'm going to say this, and you have to explain why you have this, but you have kennels at sea. So what would that be for?
We're the only cruise ship experience to have kennels. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this, again, for a long time, you know, part of kind of who we are. And we've got 24 kennels. This is only on Queen Mary 2 and only for transatlantic crossings. But we're really proud of this program. We've got this wonderful kennel space. You can rent small kennels are $700 for transatlantic crossing. Large kennels are $1,000. We can take most breeds of dogs except for something really, really large, like a Great Dane or something like that. But most breeds of dogs we can take. The dogs have their own private deck area where they can go out and play, and they're completely safe. They can't get out. And they also have an indoor play area. Owners can go up there almost 24/7. There's times they're in the middle of the night, you can't go up there, but they can really kind of go up anytime they want and visit with their pets. You could also bring cats. And we do fun little things like they get an embroidered Queen Mary II jacket that they get to take home with them. They have a certificate with their name showing that they crossed the Atlantic Ocean. We do handmade dog biscuits that we give them each day. So it's a really fun experience. And it's interesting that people who don't have pets there, they can't get into the kennel area, but they can look into it. So there's always people glaring in, trying to get a look of all the dogs that are you know, when they're playing around on the deck. So, yeah, it's a really, really fun experience on board.
Well, let's talk about the queens. You mentioned the Queen Mary. This is a rich culture that you have. So let's talk a little bit about your ships and why they are actually named the queens and what's the heritage there.
Yeah, so Cunard has this very rich history with the United Kingdom, with England. In fact, back in kind of what we say the golden age of ocean liners, you know, we all know that when the Titanic went down, that was called White Star. And England also had a close tie with White Star and Cunard at that time. Now, obviously, the Titanic going down wasn't very good for business, needless to say. So the English government actually made a deal with Cunard that if they absorbed White Star into the Cunard kind of family, that they would give them better terms in their you know, getting into port and mm-hmm. those kind of fees and things that Cunard would pay. So what we've done with White Star then is that has become our service. We call it White Star Service. It is something we have on all of our ships. But we do have a very rich history of ships. Going back to the Titanic too, do you know that the ship that rescued the survivors was a Cunard ship as well?
I didn't know that.
So there's all that history that's really rich. But because of that tie to England, the ships that's starting with the original Queen Mary started being named after queens of England. So right now we have Queen Victoria, Queen Elizabeth, and Queen Mary II in our fleet. We have a new ship coming in 2022, which is a queen yet to be named. We're all anxiously waiting to find out what that queen will be named. But our ships are very famous, you know, throughout history. I think a lot of people know the Queen Mary, which is now a hotel down in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, very famous ship, right? So famous for so many people immigrating to America on ships like the Queen Mary. A lot of famous people were on board. It was used in the war effort to transport troops. So we don't own the Queen Mary anymore. It's owned by the city of Long Beach, but we definitely have a very close relationship with that organization and with that ship. And then the QE2, another very famous ship, built back in 1969, is now a hotel in Dubai. So we've been doing hotel packages where Queen Mary II will stop in Dubai or finish in Dubai, and you can stay in the QE2. But, you know, even our fleet today is very famous. Queen Mary II is the only ocean liner carrying passengers today. It's the largest ocean liner ever built. And I always like to kind of describe what the Queen Mary II or what an ocean liner is, because everything else in the industry, and there's a lot of ships in the industry right now, as you know.
There are. Absolutely.
They're all cruise ships. An ocean liner is specifically made to be efficient in the water. And so Queen Mary II primarily does transatlantic crossing. She does other itineraries too, but that's her biggest itinerary, is going back and forth between New York and Southampton. And she's, you know, it doesn't matter what time of the year she does it either. You know, the first time I ever sailed was on a December crossing from Southampton to New York. And I think when you tell people that, they're like, sailing across the North Atlantic in December does not sound very exciting. But her design features that make her very stable in the water is that, first, she's got a very narrow V-shaped hull in the front. If you look at her She looks very narrow. That makes her able to kind of cut through the waves. She has a very deep draft. I mean, she sits very deep in the water. She's got four stabilizers, very special stabilizers, and very, very thick steel, about twice the thickness of most ships. So she weighs a lot more as well. So all these things make her very, very stable in the water. And as I mentioned, my very first crossing was a December crossing. And it was 18 to 20-foot swells for the first 5 days, which is kind of the extreme. That sounds very ominous on the surface, but this will never leave me, this image of one of the nights when it was the absolute worst and being in the Britannia dining room, which is low on the ship, and you've got these large floor-to-ceiling windows, and these waves are crashing up against the window, and it looks like we're practically underwater, yet my wine glass is on the table, barely moving, very gradually up and down. It is amazing how powerful, stable, and strong that ship is, and she's also the fastest passenger ship at sea.
Really?
So these are the kind of things that make our ships very special.
And you also invest. It's not like you go back hundreds of years, or you're not updated with Wi-Fi and all that. You invest millions of dollars to keep updates, to keep things, but you also maintain the feel of those kind of bygone years, correct?
Absolutely. It's very, that Art Deco style, those classic ships, you'll see that throughout our ships. But as you mentioned, you're going to have all of the modern amenities you could ever ask mm-hmm. for on board, state-of-the-art spa facilities, as you said, Wi-Fi. Yes, we invested $132 million in Queen Mary II a few years back, and last year we invested $40 million in Queen Victoria, another big investment coming in Queen Elizabeth. And yet, in the luxury space, we're a relatively young fleet. And then with a new ship coming on board, which we're so excited to start hearing some details about that, no doubt that she is still going to have that very classic look and feel, yet be a much, much more modern ship. So, Cunard has always been an innovator in this industry, has always evolved with grace. A lot of firsts in the industry, like mm-hmm. we were the first ship with electricity, the first ship with air conditioning, the first planetarium at sea, which is still on Queen Mary II, all these things that the first transatlantic service, the first Mediterranean service. So we've got this very rich history that we're very proud of, but it's kind of a fine line. You take a lot of pride in that, and you like to talk about it, but you also want to remind guests that you're going to get a modern cruise experience in every sense.
And Steve, I want to make sure that when our listeners are listening, thinking about this, you have those convenient sailings out of New York, Fort Lauderdale, let's say San Francisco, but you get to go to exciting destinations like Europe, the Caribbean, New England, Canada, Panama Canal, South Pacific, South Africa, Australia, and more. So you are basically worldwide with the convenience of sailing from a home port here.
Absolutely, absolutely. The tie between the U.S. and England is really, really rich. Queen Mary II, as you mentioned, she really kind of, we consider her home porting out of New York. She has her own pier in Red Hook in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Fantastic views when you get on board and you just see the New York City skyline, and it's fantastic. But as I mentioned, she primarily does transatlantic crossings, but she does a number of Canada New England sailings where mm-hmm. she'll do 7 days up to Quebec and then come back 7 days. We do round trip Caribbean out of New York as well. And we also have a number of our world cruise world cruise itineraries that leave out of New York as well. We at least two of our ships always do a world cruise, and we segment it in smaller. So you could do a 5 day segment of a world cruise, or you could do a full 125-day world cruise where you're going everywhere. So really, the itinerary options are endless. There's always someplace exciting and new to go with Cunard.
And Steve, we're running out of time, but you have special event sailings like Fashion Week and so forth, and you can take a journey to your genealogy, which I think would be fascinating. But we'll have you back again to talk about things like that. But what a wonderful time we've had, because we've gone back in a really rich history, and now we're current, and who wouldn't want to go on this, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. I urge anyone, even if you're not a cruiser, mm-hmm. to do a transatlantic crossing. It is a bucket list experience. It's an adventure. It's not just a cruise. It is. It's such a beautiful product. So I urge people to give it a look.
Give it a look.
Might not be something... Mm-hmm. Exactly. Maybe something you didn't think about in the past, but give it a look. It's very intriguing.
And we can go. You can also, if you don't have the time to do that, there are a lot of little shorter ones closer to home. We just mentioned a lot of great destinations. Steve, can't thank you enough for joining us today, and we'll be talking soon.
Bonnie, always a pleasure. And Vic, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, that was great stuff. Thank you very much.